Hi, I'm Korra.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta deal with it.
So you're like the Avatar or something. Big deal.
Who doesn't want a bison as their best friend?
You're the master of all the elements. You should know how to drive.
And then she dies.
Does this mean I'm the master now?
Food for thought.
I've never had a girlfriend to hang out with and talk to before. I'll destroy you.
I filmed the whole thing if you want to watch it.
The Avatar thanks you for your loyal service.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar of the Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongWuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and we are live after the book 3 finale of Korra. Ooh. I'm joined by a bunch of people, but we'll get to them in a second. First thing, spoilers for the finale. There's too many to introduce all at once. Spoilers for the finale in the comments of the YouTube video, in this video. Go watch the finale first. If you're watching live, if you're watching archived on YouTube, or if you're watching the audio, check for a link in the podcast description. And I have no video at the moment, but I check for a link in the podcast description and you can find the video of the podcast. You can also communicate with us while I try to fix this. Hashtag FTSW on Twitter or Tumblr. Either one, or post in the comments below on YouTube, and I can get them up on screen. And you can give us comments on anything, the finale, on what we're saying, if you like Babu, if you like Delaney's plushies, stuff like that. So, yeah. Okay, let's get to everyone. We're going to go one by one. I'm less concerned, this is like a reactions podcast, I'm less concerned with what you think critically of the episodes. I'm more concerned with just what you reacted to emotionally, what you like thought found notable from the finale. Anything, let's start with Mel.
The fight scenes were so cool. As awful as that seems, that's probably what I reacted to most emotionally once I saw that everyone was pretty much okay and not going to die. But the fight scenes were really, really just so cool. So I really enjoyed that. Which is not something I usually say about fight scenes. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think my big takeaway, one of them, is that these are the two highest quality episodes of American animation in history. And I think they supplant the book 3 finale of Avatar. Thoughts on that?
For sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
I didn't expect them to do the Avatar series finale better. Like, that's what this was, right? This is somehow an improvement on the Avatar series finale in terms of quality, in terms of, like, fight choreography, stuff like that.
Well, in terms of that, yeah, I guess.
Well, definitely.
It's
a lot of the same elements. Like, you still have the fight among the pillars of rock and
yeah.
Avatar. That really, really reminded me of the finale, actually.
It's very, very similar elements on the fight scenes, yeah. Allie, what did you react to?
You know I reacted to everything, mainly Korra, though, obviously. And like Mel said, the fights were incredible. But, I mean, pretty much the obvious things are what I reacted to. So, I mean, I guess we'll get to that later.
I mean, you can bring it up now, sure.
Jeff,
I was so impressed with the pacing of the episode. I was so stressed at certain points, and then it's followed by this denouement or like this little pause at breaking the action. Like I literally use it to catch my breath, and it's like thank you for putting that in there. I didn't enjoy, but I was gratified by the way Plea, ate it because Allie is a witness. I actually called that death yesterday.
You did. We were kind of joking, but.
She ate it.
She ate it. I don't know if that's the proper way to describe what happened, but...
Yeah, I thought it would be like, Suyin puts like a metal band over her forehead to keep her from bending, and so she just goes like suicide bomber on them. So, little variation, but essentially, it's good.
Nice. Sam, what did you react to?
What I reacted to the most was the air temple being destroyed by Lapa. So, that's all gone.
it is all gone.
That kind of that's kind of unfortunate. I don't know. I thought the fighting was definitely really good, and I thought it was a lot like Dragon Ball Z.
A lot like Dragon Ball Z. Wow, I don't know
and
if that's plays or not.
Zaheer was flying.
Yeah.
He was
that
flying.
Was Korra.
That is certainly a point of discussion, whether that had the impact that they thought it would have. Delaney, reactions?
Fighting, pacing, yes, grief, all of it. I was like Jeff, I'm like, oh my god, oh my god. And then I'd have a break when there's Naga and Pabu in the scarf. And then the Lin fight, freaked out. And then, of course, the Kurosami at the end, freaked out. So that's what I.
Oh, the Kurosami was so heavy.
It was. The Kurosami was intense.
We got Korra, we got Opal.
And Bolin shoving Opal. Bolin shoving Sue, I died. That was
and
awesome.
And we got Jinkai / Kainora, of course.
Yes.
Teresa, let's react to.
I reacted to Tonrak a lot. And, like, dad feels. And the animation was incredible. And the fight scenes blew my mind, and like Sam said, the temple just being destroyed, I wasn't expecting that. I expect some damage, but not just like it's gone. The mountain and everything is just gone. I was really dark. That was really most of my reaction. Like, I couldn't believe.
I feel like it's an appropriate
that was really
that
dark.
Phrase. It blew my mind.
Korra hallucinations.
Oh, yeah.
Blew my mind. I love them.
I think, okay, so I'm going to start off with this. I think this finale is super surprising in that we didn't get the Avatar Book 2 finale. Like, instead we got the Avatar Book 3 finale, which is really interesting.
Not really.
So, what I mean by this is there's no dark cliffhanger at the end. There's no, it's not, the heroes are not left in a bad place at the end. Korra is, but the villains, I'd get defeated. And three of them are dead, so it's a pretty... It's a pretty definitive conclusion.
Go team.
As opposed to the, you know, the Avatar Book 3 finale, which of course wraps everything up. I don't know. I'm just very surprised at how one simplistic the plot lines were, and that's my biggest criticism, but that's more of as a season as the whole. Like, to me this really wasn't a great conclusion to two plot lines, big plot lines of the season. One, this doesn't rectify the ultimatum not making any sense. Not the episode, the physical ultimatum. Like, there's no need for Zaheer to release Bolin and Mako. And two, just what Zaheer wanted with Korra wasn't big enough, I don't think.
It's literally venom.
About that for like 2 seconds. I was like, oh, maybe they just want to kill her in the Avatar state. And I was like, nah, too simple.
Yeah, exactly.
It's you wonder why the heroes be so fixated on
I mean,
Korra.
I feel like if we didn't know there was a season 4, it would have been much more like, oh my god, she might die.
That was
going to happen.
I mean, certainly. I was wondering if they're going to do it, because we kind of have these all. There's a ton of like.
Before Avatar Asami.
Before Avatar without Korra. Like, I don't know. Also, at the end, I swear they were going to go the whole, the Avatar's done plotline and Korra's just a normal waterbender now. That's where I thought they were going at the end. Anyone else have that reaction?
No. I thought it was going to be a satanic ritual when I first saw it.
Me sacrificing her to Guru Lahima.
Sans computer.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I don't know. Just the overall structure I thought was pretty surprising. I think the big takeaway people are going to have at the end is Korra being in a wheelchair, damaged in whatever manner. Pretty striking image of the final shot of her crying at the end. Allie, how did you react to that?
I don't know how.
Allie would not shut up.
Okay.
How she reacted.
Because, I mean, people have been, like, talking about the scene on Tumblr, too. And, like, it's just, you think it's really happy because you see, like, Asami doing her, and it's like, oh my god, yay, happy ending! And then she's in a wheelchair, and she's like, she doesn't smile for the whole ending. So it's so depressing. Like, even though everything happy is happening for other people, she's just like, I'm, like, so weak, and it's really sad, okay? She's
my favorite. The way they did the wheelchair reveal wasn't original. But it was still, it had the impact.
It was insane. What do you mean it wasn't original?
Because they did, that's a common original way that people will show something like that where...
I thought you said it was original.
Yeah, no, it's not an original way to reveal
it. Oh, okay.
It definitely,
it definitely was impactful, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was powerful.
For Allie, more so than...
Listen, she's the Avatar. Wheelchair is kind of messed up.
We have a comment from Sly Commentary. It's hard to compare to the final of Avatar since it was 4 episodes, but for what it's worth, random person watching agrees with how good it was. So that's kind of a test on the comments. Yeah, I can show it on screen.
I was like, what was that?
I think the analog would be the last 2 episodes of the Avatar Book 3 finale. Just very similar in terms of action dominated. Even the action sequences were super similar.
I think there's a similarity between the very, like, Korra in a wheelchair. It reminds me of Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah,
definitely.
Why?
It's like, it's a happy day, he's awake, he's alive, but oh no, he's missing a leg.
And then he looks down.
Yeah.
So then Naga has to be in a wheelchair too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's how it works. That's exactly how it works.
Melanie on Twitter, at @avatar_ray, I knew the sub-element of airbending was levitation. I think there's a lot that happened in this finale that people called. Basically everything.
Yeah.
Ali called it.
Sorry.
How did you react to just Zaheer flying? Like, did that have a big impact?
Okay.
I thought it was stupid at first.
I don't understand, because you can fly with airbending pretty much, so it was kind of dumb to me.
Yeah, like, you can have a glider. Oh, look, you can float. Oh, you're so cool, you can fly.
I mean,
like,
I guess he has more control of it, though, with the glider, because the glider's a lot more work, because you're bending
the
air. Well, you're bending the air around the glider. Here, he's just,
not
like,
even with the glider, though. You could, like, go Iron Man with, like, your feet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess it just, like, it didn't excite me, but I don't know what the other option would have been.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm surprised our astral projection theory didn't happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because none of the sort of more spiritual theories panned out.
So. Yeah, which you could kind of see coming once you saw comments from Mick and Brian. They're like, this finale isn't any spiritual stuff. But I don't think this is... So I think there's 2 reasons why this flying Zaheer thing would be unsatisfying. 1, because airbenders can fly with gliders. And 2, we see Ozai and Azula flying in Avatar with levitation from firebending. So,
and Korra did that too.
Well, and the build-up was for something. We were expecting, you know, crazy stuff, and then this, he flies. You're Superman, good job, Zaheer.
If the concept isn't the best, the execution was flawless. So.
Yeah,
that's true. I would agree with that.
Nick put these Spirit of an Episode's up for free on Amazon and Google+, which features the director of the episode and the assistant director talking about some things in it. Pretty nice that they put them up. So in the, I think this was the, what, this happened in 312, right? The first episode of the finale, Zaheer Flies? Yeah. So it must be Colin Heck. He was talking about how, like, they needed to make it, they spent a lot of time figuring out what it would look like, so they wanted to make it kind of like swimming in the air. It was like super important for them to storyboard that correctly, and I think they do pull it off. It's just more conceptually that it doesn't.
I mean, at first I thought it was airbending. So
I mean, well, the second he went to fall off the cliff, like, you saw it coming. Right there. Obviously, that's what's coming next, and then it happened, and you're like.
Yeah, I think regardless of this, I don't know, I feel like we're burying the lead a little bit, because I feel like the last episode of this season is one of the best episodes of television ever. Just, it's so emotionally impactful at the end. I love that they spend the third act entirely on the after. That's super, super great to me. And just, okay, personally, the thing I reacted to the most was Jenora getting her tattoos. Like, super, super emotionally impactful for me. I know I'm not alone on that, but...
Just like Aang.
Korra being
identical, Aang with brown eyes. Oh my god, I died.
Korra being Ahsoka, you know, whatever. Jenora.
I knew something was
what do you mean, whatever?
That was the big thing. I think that scene might be more, even more impactful for someone who isn't looking at fan art of Jenora with her tattoos. We, like, knew this was going to happen, right? Like, there's so much fan art.
Dylan prepped
it. It was kind of predictable. They were talking about it.
There's so much. Basically, everything is.
It was pretty
predictable. Everything in this finale that happened was predicted by fans, which isn't a bad thing, but...
It's not bad, but it wasn't surprising. It was just like, yes!
It was nice.
I think one of the reasons I would say that the finale really succeeds overall is that the comedic moments, there are very few of them, but they all hit. We've seen
except
Korra,
for Roland and the air show at the beginning of the first episode.
I think that was funny, but that's the problem.
No, it was not.
That's the problem of Bolin, him just, like,
terribly?
Inserting in serious dialogue with his jokiness,
It was funny later when he did the call.
Yeah.
Like, I responded to everything except for that first instance.
But I was still, like, Bowen shoved.
My favorite is still he shoves Sue out of the way. That's my favorite.
That was a really good
I loved that. It was so good. And then Sue
I liked how they animated her reaction.
So. Same.
Yes.
Other comedic moments, I feel like...
Pabu?
Kai.
Okay, so this cutaway to Pabu and... And
Naga?
Grandma Yun. I think really Grandma Yun's disappointed.
Really, Dylan? Really?
I wanted the scarf to rip in half. I would have laughed.
The true tragedy. The true tragedy.
That was the major scarf.
Why is Grandma Yun the best?
While you were watching Tenzin, meanwhile.
Other great moments. Minghua, will you just bury them already? I thought that line was really good.
Which, you know, her getting electrocuted, it's kind of like Azula.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I wonder if Kazan's like suicide move actually took her out too.
She was already done.
Okay.
Yeah. In that third episode thing I mentioned before, so in the finale, it's going to be Melkar Zawire talking about it, the director of the last episode. He says, "Yes, Kazan and Minghua are dead." He says,
Definitely dead.
Here's a great comment I think we need to point out. Ainge, 143, said, OMG, Jeff has a beard. It's so fluffy.
Jeff's beard is majestic. It's true.
Right here.
So fluffy.
Anyway, I just had to put that. Okay. But I think the comedic moment which succeeds the most is the guards. Avatar, I feel like, is notorious at this point in a good way for having great random guard dialogue, and this is maybe the best one, which is the random guy with the airbender saying, "I can hold a bowl of poison."
Which is funny, but no one reacted to it. Like, amongst the airbenders.
Yeah,
and
I was
thinking, okay,
plan,
so everyone shows up and they free them, and I'm like, and we move with haste now. We move with a purpose, because you know that there is poison involved. Nope, none of that.
They were like, you know, the destruction of the Avatar, and they don't even really respond. They're all just kind of looking at each other. It's like they just said Korra's going to die, but okay. End your lights.
Meanwhile, that happened to me last night, and it was horrifying at 4 in the morning. there's that.
Were there any other comedic moments?
Comedic moments.
Oh, why didn't you ever tell us you can fly? Says Ming.
Yeah,
that was great.
Why didn't you ever tell us you could fly?
She sounded a lot like Azula right there.
She did. I was like, you're Azula.
I am not surprised because Gray's voice is Azula's voice, like her talking.
Yeah, she is Azula. It's true.
I was like,
Toon Gal on Tumblr says, "Jinora, yes. Korra, no."
Everyone up.
I feel like
describe it in 4 words. That would be it.
That is it.
Carmel.
I just have a lot of notes here. The big revelations, Bolin lava bending, a lot called by a lot of people.
I don't know how I feel
about that. Yeah.
Well, I like that they gave him something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Consolation prize for a bad character. Here you go.
I feel like that's not going to do anything for him though.
I would have rather he like learned how to lava bend and then like turn and go to the other side rather than just hack and lava bend.
I thought he was gonna die.
Yeah, I did.
That's what they were going for.
I thought he was going to sacrifice himself, and I was surprised by how sad I was going to be.
Yeah, right there at the exit of the temple, he was going to go into lava.
A disappointing thing for the finale is I feel like that no one good died. Like, I feel like it would have been...
God.
Tenzin and Todoroki, so close!
I was so relieved that Tenzin didn't die. I
was relieved when I saw Tenzin didn't die, but then I thought Tanrak was going to die, and I was flipping out.
I was pretty upset when I thought Tanrak was going to die.
You guys will hear. I was screaming at the top of my lungs.
Really,
I'm kind of upset that Kazan died, because he was fun.
He was cool.
I think he died.
He freaked out about Minghua, and I was like, oh, Kazan! I actually felt bad for him, and then he got mad.
I felt bad when Kali died, just because they established that attachment thing.
Zaheer, Pili... Oh my god, that scene with
let's ship it
forever.
Let's talk about that scene. The Zaheer and Pili scene in...
beautiful.
God. I
adored
it.
That was
so nice. I shipped them so hard.
I'm not super happy with that. That turned into the archetype of Zaheer saved, you know, the woman, and now she's totally in love with him forever. But I think the execution, other than the concept, was just flawless. Like, that scene was super emotional. It's way more than I expected from a finale episode.
Yeah, me too.
Yes,
from the villain.
Now that we know that, like, she was his earthly tether, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to make it better, much worse. And I love you, but
yeah, it's very similar.
Which is interesting if he, you know, was aware of that prior to, and he wasn't going to do anything to rectify that situation. I think makes him a bit more human.
Also, the fact that, like, they make you hate the villains, like the episode before with Tenzin, and then this scene comes and you're like, wait, I kind of like him now.
But then toward the end, though, like, when Bowen shoves the sock in his mouth, I was kind of like, well, now they just kind of defeated the purpose of Zaheer. They built him up to be this great villain, and now it's, oh.
I mean, he's not dead. He's in prison.
I know, but, like, it was kind of a weakened it a bit.
Yeah, it was a bad way to have his last moment on the screen.
Yeah, sorry, doing a lot of things. I think that I was super... Oh, one more note on the Zaheer and Khaleesi scene. The most depth we got from the script, I feel like, was that scene with Khaleesi saying, you saved me from that warlord. That was going to be his weapon. That was, like, super interesting, and they never expand upon it.
Yeah.
But now we're never going to know that.
I don't know if it's necessary to expand on it.
But it'd be nice.
It'd be nice, but it's not necessary.
It's another Zuko's mom thing.
Yeah. Fiction. Oh, can we not have a comic? No, I don't want a comic about this.
Oh, God, please, no. Someone
her face. Her face.
Fan making one, yes. Jin Yang, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Then another comments I had on the villains. I feel like Gazan in these two episodes was incredible. Like, he's...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He's throughout the course of the book, the end of book three, became, like, the best villain of the four. Like, yeah. I feel like by far. And it's interesting because I couldn't even remember his name in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And every line he says towards the end is golden. Like,
he's so great.
Yeah, he is.
Can we make a Gazan collage, just him?
Just Gazan statements? Yeah, we'd have trouble filling it out, but yeah.
Two out of three.
Fit the time limit.
His ending of him just trying to take everyone down with him just to not go back to his. I feel like it worked. It's like it was only set up with one line before, but that scene was so good that it's totally.
He's like that kid from Monsters University who's like, I can't go back to prison.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Oh, but did he not think that they could just get away because Bolin could just, like, earthbend them up?
He thought he was a better earthbender. Well, I don't think he so much cared if they got away.
Yeah, he just wanted. He wasn't going to go back to prison.
Son of Chaos says, "Where is Ben?" And this is Ben. So hi, Ben.
Is that Ben?
Wait, that's Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Tall says, Cora died. ... Inside.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Book four depression.
Allie's not going to be able to talk anymore.
Only part of her inside.
Sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right. 13 says Conrack should have died. Sorry, Cora.
I would have cried actually.
I kind of agree. I mean,
what purpose would that serve?
It wouldn't have served.
Have served the purpose of, like, emotionally crushing me.
But him being alive,
Cora would have died with the Avatar
snake. It wouldn't have been emotional though, because there's no build up to it. And there's no purpose for killing him. I mean, there was for Tenzin.
Storytelling-wise, Tanrak's death wouldn't have made sense. Tenzin's would have, I agree with Mel.
But I'm glad that he didn't. Like, I understand that, like, it would have worked if he had, but I'm glad he didn't.
Sifu Toph 28 says, I'm so upset to see that we saw no more of Toph this season, even with all the Toph mummy issues being talked about so much.
Thank you, yes.
She's Kavira. She got
young. She's back in before.
Coming
Toph's just Kavira, yeah.
There were so many Lin and Sue. There was so much Lin and Sue. Toph's coming. She's coming
for the statue.
Oh, can we talk about, like, Lin, like, cupping.
I cried. No, don't tell her you love her. I was like, you're gonna die, and I got really upset.
I thought Lin was gonna die. I thought
was intense.
Sue is not evil. Sue's not evil.
True.
Yeah, we're messed up, guys.
I think we can definitively say at this point that Sue is not evil.
She's just a mommy, and she loves Opal.
Because she literally killed police, so I don't think
she did. And she saved Cora.
Okay.
Kind of.
Sierra says, was I the only one half expecting Toph to show up, especially during
I was waiting for
yes.
When like Sue and Lin both went out together to fight, I was like, maybe it's like a big bang up from the ground.
I would have been so weirded out.
You're like, not Twinkle Toes.
Let's go, kiddos. Then did it.
Well, was the other thing? Yeah. Was when she was like, when
no, but at Janora's thing, she wasn't there.
Yeah,
it's her granddaughter.
Rude.
Your granddaughter.
I was waiting for her to pop up with some magical water when
when everyone was dying.
When everyone was dying.
Toka on Tumblr says, the Sokka and Zaheer's mouth reminded me of the way they sat around insulting Ozai in the
yeah, that reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
By the way, Toga made this awesome Jinora gift set earlier. So.
We had a lot of parallels to
and yes, I will get, if you tag Tumblr posts with FTSW, I will get them and read them. But yeah, at that moment, that was another comedic moment we didn't mention. That was really good.
Well, with the sock in his mouth, not really, but
But then Opal's reaction, which was
yes, Opal's reaction
classic
was
Bolin.
Good.
Classic Bolin. I love how she's like embarrassed of.
Yeah, like it's great.
So they go.
Okay, I had to choose you.
And Kai and Jinora are dating too.
Yep, it's true.
Obviously.
And of course, Corrin is
okay. What was that punch?
I was thought they did the punch and not like a kiss.
That's how I show affection.
Okay. So one, you got that what Kai's dialogue in that scene was basically like what I saw like several times on the Kai Nora tag on Tumblr. But then Jinora's reaction I think is the different thing, which is no kiss instead of punch, which I feel like they're like trying to maintain a kiddie romance, you know. Like
I was happy with that. I approved.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was interestingly done. I don't know how much the punch is in Jinora's character, but I like it.
I mean, she could have been doing it at him because it's in his character, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense that,
Was Kai in that last scene? I didn't see him anywhere.
He was airbending. I mean,
yeah, they're in the back. Like,
Kai was in the last scene. Also in the last scene was Ryu. In
yes.
From,
why was he there in Noctara? Why did they bother? That's ridiculous.
She's your granddaughter.
Your granddaughter is the first new airbending master.
And she looks like your husband now.
Yeah, she seriously is Aang with brown eyes, and it's terrifying. And it hurts my soul.
I wonder if she's going to stay bald.
I won't be able to handle that throughout the entire season if she's...
It depends how much time skip we get.
Yeah, that's true.
For the next book. So
are we
going to
get a time skip?
Another note.
No, it starts the second she's done crying.
For the last episode, Melkor Zire is talking about how it was like a point of contention whether they would do the Jinora having like half of her head, like they've done with female airbenders before, having it only half shaved, or whether they would go.
Well, the whole point is that they have to do the full tattoo first, and the hair
grows
off.
Or she could do something else. She could keep bangs, you know.
They were debating, and he says, but they.
What if she had only bangs and nothing?
Full Aang. Full Aang.
Full Aang.
Yes, that's the.
Does that include Avatar's stake?
That's what.
Not included. That's
also
extra.
Speaking of the Avatar stake, can I say something about the Avatar stake?
Yes.
I thought that the reason she wasn't going into it was because she has no Avatar stake because her connection to her past lives.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No,
yeah,
I thought that
for a minute, and I was like, no, she's fighting, and then I kept
going. It would have made so much sense.
A lot of stuff in
the Avatar is predicated on the connection to Rava, which she has.
Yeah.
So.
I think the past lives come as a bonus for that.
Yeah.
That's why you're able to tap into them, but there's also a default that's just.
This wasn't established during Avatar, the original series. Our understanding was her power is based on the past lives, but they've since retconned that. Like, whatever.
Exactly, Sam.
I haven't read this, but let's read this long quote from Cole Tyler 44. I watched the finale twice and a thought came to me at the end when Korra is sitting in the wheelchair. I think she realized the role of the Avatar is coming to an end. It goes back to the vision she was having when Zaheer put the venom in her. I was convinced of this after hearing Tenzin say that the new Air Nation would keep the balance. I think Korra knows now that she's working towards the end of the role of the Avatar. I bet by the end of the show, the Avatar will no longer be needed.
That's sad. But also really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I can't really see it ending any other way.
Avatar, yeah, that's my thing. Like, I don't see another outcome.
Yeah. Book four, Avatar.
Towards this state. Like, in, you know, 100 years ago, Avatar was, like, super relevant, and now it's not. What changed? Technology? What?
Well, it could come back to Zaheer saying the revolution has begun, and like it's really, and it's not necessarily a bad revolution. It's like the air nomads and stuff.
Also, wait, can we talk about her like freaking out in the Avatar state, seeing all the villains?
I love that. I know that like people might disagree, but I feel like that tied in. I feel like that tells us that Amon was probably Red Lotus. Maybe that's just me.
I don't know about that, but it was definitely powerful.
What it gives, at the very least, is it unifies a theme for all the stuff. If you're not going to unify the plot, at least you can do that.
Yeah, unify the theme, I agree.
I have two comments on that. One, it was definitely all in Korra's head, so it can't say. Two, Korra's hallucinations are not in character for Vatu, because whenever Vatu sees Korra, he says, Rava.
Punctuate every sentence.
Vatu showing up made me so happy.
Yeah, I know. He didn't laugh, though.
Vatu showing up made me
He didn't laugh. I'm so upset.
Okay, but, like, the way that they morphed into them was horrifying. Like, his head was twisting around.
They went all exorcist with it.
Quickly on Captain Guvira, the most what the heck are you doing moment of the film. The one thing that doesn't make sense and is a huge, I think, black eye on the first part of it is just this random introduction of this character, and she doesn't do anything. I don't understand why they're doing this.
Call me Guvira. Like, what was the line was delivered?
Wait, wait, question. Is it Guvira or Kuvira?
Guvira with a G.
With a G.
She has a name. There was ominous music playing, and she had a look on her face. So she's gonna.
She had a face. That's
something important. She had a face.
She had a nice face.
They're setting something up for next season, but
with the face
payoff here. It's such it's such contrast to the rest of everything else. This finale, where they do things that pay off in this finale and this episode specifically.
It's everything. It's really glaring.
Yeah. Also of note, she's voiced by Zelda Williams, and she says. Sue says she should stay with the injured. No, Guvira, says Sue. Anyway.
No.
Katie says, I would have liked to know more about the poison. It seemed like an incredibly convenient plot point.
I like that Janora just knew it was metal.
Yeah, me too. I was like, Janora, like, did you study this?
So my theory on that is she saw the guy bending it in, and she maybe could tell that he was an earthbender. And so,
instead of a waterbender,
okay.
I want to know how Janora knew it was metal.
That's what I just said.
Sorry, it was
loud.
So, here's the question. Are we going to use Deus Ex Machina for that? Is the poison Deus Ex Machina?
First of all, can you say it right?
Deus.
He doesn't say anything right. Just deal with
it. Okay, Dylan, do I need to tell you etymology-wise why it's pronounced Deus? Because it comes from the word which means God, which is pronounced Deus.
And here's
Here's the conclusion. I think no. I don't think it's I think it's like important, but I think it's just. I think it makes sense that they could have this random poison. Like I don't. I'm not super upset about that. I don't know. Was anyone else?
I thought it was more convenient that it was metal, but granted, I wasn't bothered because they saved Korra.
Why would it go into
the Avatar state? That's what I want to know.
What?
Why would it force her to go into the Avatar state?
Why did she?
Like, why would this poison force her to go into the Avatar state?
Because they're trying to save her because she's dying.
Yeah. It just, like, kills her. The poison just kills her.
He said that when this happens, you'll be forced to die.
Right. Never mind.
Okay, in the subtitles that Nick uses, it's Kuvira.
In the credits, it's a G, so that was a mistake.
Well, that's confusing.
I believe. Great. I'm not sure. I might be wrong on this.
It's like Sue all over again.
I thought I checked the credits, and they said G.
Well, Sue was... That was also because it was a different language.
I'll check. I guess we'll check. I don't want to get
it wrong. It's with a K.
It's with a K in the credits?
Who cares?
Okay. My mistake. So this dumb character is named
She's not dumb.
Okay.
She doesn't have a character. We can't call her dumb.
Next thing to discuss. EOX 13 says Korasami feels. So
excited. Yes!
This is a very, very long conversation.
So okay, let's talk shipping. We haven't mentioned the Makora hug in the beginning.
No.
It seems like Korra was returning his affections.
No.
I didn't like that they played music during it.
I was more upset that she didn't give Bolin a real
Me
hug.
Too.
Yeah,
that
right?
Was really upsetting.
She was like, oh, you're just
the puppy.
But she gave Asami a hug first. That's what
she did. And Asami said, be careful.
It's true.
And then, so, okay.
Because you only say be careful to...
No, in this show, be careful translates to I love you.
Let's read the Korasami line at the end. Asami says, I want you to know I'm here for you if you ever want to talk... Or anything.
They're married. Like,
or anything, you know.
Or anything.
Korasami is for real.
Go out, like, get some dinner.
Checking out bedroom.
Go catch a mover.
Yeah.
Go for a drive. This would probably not be the reaction.
We should, Korasami and Namakura. I mean, it's just person to person. It's just an incredibly emotional scene, regardless of whether you ship Korasami.
Yeah,
it's the biggest pride. Like,
yeah.
friends now. Like, it's just it's really sweet and, like, feel good. Not feel good at all, but it's nice to know, like, they can, like, they're friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, like, more upset that we, like, I don't know, I feel like the Korra and Asami, like, just friendship interaction this season was just so on point. It's like, why did you not make this happen sooner?
Yes.
Or so more. Well. Like, the finale probably had the most, other than, like, the first episode. The first episode and the last one had the most, like, of them talking about, like, you know, not...
stuff and things.
Yeah, their friendship is the best. There needs to be more.
I was angry with Mako just being a jerk to Bolin in the airship, that one scene when he's like, stop pacing, I'm already nervous. It's like, deal with your own problems.
That's something I do, though.
Like, shut up, Mako.
I want to talk more about the last scene. I think it's the best scene of the finale. I think it's perfect. The reason I think this is an example of them, just like, not an example, this is them wrapping up the season in a really great way. And I think that, like, the unifying theme is going to be Airbenders throughout the entire thing, the rebirth of the Air Nation. And I think they concluded extremely well. They concluded at the same time, they also have and they conclude Jinora's becoming a master arc incredibly well. It's incredibly poignant. Her hugging Tenzin, just incredible. And it's very emotional with the wind chimes. I think it's just
tear.
Perfect.
Yes, tear. Yes.
Like, I don't say that very often. That scene was perfect.
Thanks.
I'm making a surprise appearance. Yeah, I'm making
I was impressed, like, for the way we didn't think that Jinora was going to have much of a role. At least I didn't think that Jinora was going to have much of a role in the finale. I was pleasantly surprised.
So,
Four's going to be Jinora. Because she's in every finale.
Let's talk Jinora. Jinora's big thing in the finale, besides the end, was getting, one, astral projecting and seeing what's happening to Korra. My video keeps going in and out, it's annoying. And two, leading this big new Airbenders tornado thing. So I think there's two Deus Ex Machina elements in the finale, but they're much less than previous finales.
But just because Jinora's incredible, like, that's it's all her.
One is the poison, which I don't think is that big of a deal. Two is...
dumb.
Is the air tornado. But I think
tornadoes are scary.
As opposed to one, tornadoes are scary. As opposed to last season where Jinora just does this incredible thing and saves the day, this actually, like, makes sense and is grounded in reality from what we've seen.
And maybe that's like the move she learned or invented to
Everyone's all going to be like, but in the supplemental material, it says you have to create a move. So when you get to that, too, the supplemental material can be retconned at any point. But
why do you have to create a move?
It just says that
in the books.
It's in the books.
I'm a little disappointed we don't see Jinora directly fighting, but I guess this is more in character for what they're trying to do with her. She's like,
none of them would have a chance against the here. Like, they're all too low powered.
Well, if we're gonna go the whole, if we're gonna go a spiritual route, then Jinora could have certainly taken on to here, but we didn't go that route. So if we're gonna do here, I guess it makes more sense.
That would have been cool to see them fighting the spirit world.
Ben says the final scene of this book is just as perfect as the final scene of Avatar. Agree or disagree?
Yes. Agree.
Agree.
I think it's a totally different tone, though. I mean,
but it's because it's not the series finale.
I think it was a really
ambitious tone, and I think it was pulled off.
Yeah, definitely.
The final scene being the Jinora tattoos, the entire thing.
I think
it's better.
You're missing the tear.
It was
just a second at the end. I think this is better than the epilogue for the Avatar finale. I think the Avatar finale is super good, but only because we have emotional weight from the previous ones. This is also good because of emotional weight from previous ones, but it's just so well put together throughout the entire thing.
So, Dylan, is this the best season of TV in history?
No. So, more on this in the audio recap tonight. We'll discuss this in more depth, but my general feelings are I don't like this as a conclusion to the season, but as its own, it's two of the best episodes in TV history, but I don't think the season comes together where I wanted it to.
Why not?
Like, I agree.
Again, more later. I've already... we're focusing more on reactions now.
Can we talk about Icky got a line? Woohoo!
Yeah, an A line.
Talked.
Milo didn't have a line.
No,
he said he had the P.
What else would Milo say?
He said that Jinora's inside.
Oh yeah, that's it.
That made me sad.
Ifu Toph says, looking at Avatar and seeing ways they killed off characters like Jet by not showing it, but you kind of know know it happens. Then you go to Korra, where it seems like you don't mind clearly showing characters dying because it seems as if they're making this more for the teenage range. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, they said killed.
I think it was interesting that when Kalia got her face blown up, you didn't hear the explosion.
Good.
Yeah.
They had to be careful with that because that can easily get sued.
A pillar of smoke where she was vaporized. I mean, that got the point across pretty well.
I didn't see that. Maybe I missed that. My head blowing up plus
Ming-Hwa getting shocked to death was really...
Well, we saw that happen already once before when Aang got shocked to death.
Oh, yeah, but that was... Yeah, that's true.
What was the rating for this episode, Dylan?
I believe it's just Y7.
Why?
I'm not old enough to watch the show. Why is Y7?
I'm 20 and I don't feel old enough to watch the show.
I don't understand.
Tal says, creating a move proves your... Where did this go? Proves your ingenuity, a strong understanding of airbending that transcends beyond copying others. Yes, supplemental material. Thumbs up.
Yes, from book one, it will air scroll.
Sierra says, by the way, I apologize if you have like your real names on here and I don't know that it's connected to your screen names. Tell me if you're people that I know. Milo called sandalwood shoe trees.
He did.
Oh, wait, they're an actual thing?
What?
Sandalwood is an
actual thing. I don't know. They have that. Ben says, another video podcast for the season wrap up? Probably not. I think these things work as like reactions. Then again, it's not. Most of these views are going to come not live, so 52 people watching right now, pretty good.
Beautiful.
Hi, guys.
What have I not hit on? So this is where going out of order in the comments. Okay, here's a good one for Jeff here. Kurokro, I thought the poison was mercury. It looked like mercury.
Cool.
I can see that.
We don't know that mercury exists in the Avatar world. So.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, apparently platinum does.
Well, also, I'm sure there's mercury in the Avatar world.
Also, Tal says, I don't think the venom is anything special, just mercury.
Well, no, because like mercury would not like kill you like that.
Or it could have mercury in it.
Well, let's look up the effects of mercury poisoning.
I think it would in that dose, yeah.
It makes you go into the Avatar state.
Yeah. Well, you go crazy. Maybe that's why she was so
I should have injected myself.
Yeah, I think that's my thought too, Mel.
Okay, I'm looking over things that we have missed on the outline. I did so. No earthly desires for Zier. We kind of discussed that. The most striking visual, I think, besides Jinora looking like Aang, is Korra chained up at the end of the first part of the finale.
Yes.
With the Red Lotus symbol behind her.
The Red Lotus. I think that is one of the best visuals we've seen.
Jeff, screen cap it quick so we can stare at it forever.
You want the chaining thing?
Yes.
Brian posted this without Korra chained up on Tumblr last night, so if you want,
Also, I love how everyone was so convinced it was Ba Sing Se and then was just like, nope, just
there's just these random.
I would like to point out, I said like a week ago, I was like, guys, that could just be another crystal chamber. It doesn't have to be Ba Sing Se.
Of note, Zaheer says the word anarchy, specifically in the finale.
He does it a few times, doesn't he? He says it like once or twice.
That's all I noted. What do you guys think of Zaheer kind of descending into madness a little bit at the end?
It's more reminiscent of Uzai again.
It makes sense.
Or no, I'm sorry, it's reminiscent of Azula.
I'm not a big fan.
But I mean,
it kind of weakened the whole season point, like him doing that. It was like just kind of.
He had this huge buildup and it got brought down and he lost Pali for nothing now.
I feel like it wasn't as drastic as Azula. Like, it almost. I feel like I wouldn't call it descending into madness as much as just, like, extreme frustration.
I didn't know that there was a group chat.
Well, I think what he was trying to do more than anything was trying to convince them of something. He's like, no, don't you understand what you're doing? It was more a reasoning factor, I think, than Azula or Rosai. There was more rationale behind it.
It kind of just, I don't know if they execute, this is one of the season things I'm talking about, I don't know if they execute on the whole anarchy plotline super well. Not concluded super interestingly in the finale, just as I hear it kind of spouting.
Well, it's like the finale itself was awesome, but the transition into the finale, like from like looking at the episode before, is kind of like
because the ultimatum.
Because the ultimatum was
it destroyed me.
Yeah, we heard the screaming alley.
Let's get to some comments that I haven't hit on yet. Hades Fist says, so much exposition and unnecessary bull and one-liners during some of these. Jinora's escape plan was filler because Sue and Lin still rescued them. Opal Line was also always disappointed that the majority. of Red Lotus Gang was killed off, I cheered for them more than the heroes. Last sequences and ceremony was enjoyable. Yeah, I don't know why Jinora needed to do the astral projection thing if they're just going to find them.
Well, we needed to know later about the metal poison.
Yeah, that's true.
Which wasn't specifically addressed.
But it looked pretty. Also, the vision was striking.
There are more Red Lotus members.
Yeah.
Well, there's three.
We have like Hydra. They're going to have to take
cliffhangers at the end.
Yeah, Hydra.
One. Quora's in a wheelchair. Two, there's Rin. They say there could be more Red Lotus members. Three, the Earth Kingdom is in open rebellion.
Great. And we have Kubira.
And
there's that. That too.
I forgot about the
ending. I do not consider any of those cliffhangers, though. Like, in terms of cliffhanger, you know.
They're just loose ends.
It's just there is a cliff.
There's a setup.
Standing over it, ready to jump.
It's, you know, yeah, you tied up all the loose ends for the most part from this season, and you're just a little stepping stone for the next season.
Exactly. I mean, here's the cliff. Here's us. We're standing over it, ready to jump.
That was the analogy I tried to use before, and Mel made fun of me.
I will not be dragged down with you.
Well.
And we'll just have to wait a year to make that jump.
No. Well, you know, that's also a good thing, because this will be the last season, so...
We're not going to be friends anymore after
this. Okay. Felipe Domingo says, there's a parallel of Korra being so down in the finale and the series almost being canceled. All right at the end, but Korra, the character and the show, is still weakened. Nice, I like that parallel.
I don't think they did that on purpose.
How is the show weakened?
No, because we have that.
Sam, what's the phrase? Life mirrors art or art mirrors life? Which one is it?
What?
Life mirrors art or art mirrors life?
Both.
Okay, one of them is an actual saying.
Slee commentary says, does anyone think that there's
any
way to the idea that Zahir had a parallel journey to Aang's in a way? Him getting advice from the Guru to let go in order to gain the ability to fly, just as Guru Patti called Aang in order to gain control of the Avatar state, Aang had to let go of his waterbender love interest, and Zahir let go of his firebender love interest.
His waterbender love interest, you shall not
name Katara.
They can't name Katara this season. Also, Aang, as the Avatar, was all about restoring
order,
whereas Zahir was attempting to create chaos in world order. Do you guys think there's intentional parallels to Zahir and Aang?
I don't think it's intentional, but it's
well, they kept talking about, Aang is really present in this season, the airbenders in general, which is funny because book one was there and we have book three change. But yeah. I mean, I feel like it was intentional-ish. Like, I can't see them doing that parallel and just being like, haha, this is kind of funny, guys. Look what we did. Like, I feel like it was... Aang's just really present in this season.
I think it might just be more a parallel to the ideals of airbending in general.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, and I think it might just be sort of a coincidence that Lahima's thing is, like, go your earthly tether. Or they possibly pulled that from what Guru Patik said, because he studied with the airbenders. That might be where he got that from, to say, this is one way you can master the Avatar state. Like, the airbending...
If they had mentioned chakras, I think it'd be definite parallel, but they didn't mention chakras, so yeah, I feel like it's still kind of iffy.
That waterbender love interest.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Avatar Sorter Melanie says, I bet Toph will be seen in book four. I agree.
Yes, I mean, if she's not,
I'm going to be upset.
Maybe Kuvira knows about her.
Yeah, Kuvira. Sam says, this isn't related, but Venom the Red Lotus was the 100th episode when combined both series. Yes, it is. Ben says perhaps the venom is actually made from cactus juice.
This is why we keep Ben around.
Ben, you
need to save these comments for tonight. You're on the audio tonight.
Yeah, that's great.
Guys, stop the mind at all.
Larsing says Katara died like a season ago. Everyone just forgot to check up on
her. No. I have a theory.
No, don't say that.
No, that's not. So she's not, you know, So she's not at the thing, right?
She's not at the thing.
The airbending master ceremony. Obviously, this is because Zuko was there, and she doesn't want people to know. She was like, it would be too obvious if I was there too. So she's like, nah. No, I'll just skip this one, and I'll hit him up when Iki comes in.
Mel, I love you.
That is
why she wasn't there.
Right. That is why. Okay, canon. Done.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, get your last comments in soon. They don't refresh right away. We're ending in about 12 minutes, so get your last comments now.
I think that was the best hidden Zatara ever.
That was really good. Fufu Top says, I was disappointed that Lin didn't take the poison out of Korra and save her instead
of Thank you.
Oh, yes.
The assumption here, though, is that Suiyan's a bit more skilled with the intricacies of metal bending.
I think they were tired of us thinking she was evil, or they just wanted to slam.
I honestly think Suiyan is a better candidate for working with stuff like that, because it wasn't even that, like, they said, oh, it's metal. Like, she just, and, like, they were like, oh, which one of us is going to do it? She, like, jumps up, and she's like,
me, it's me. I can do it.
So I feel like the assumption there is that
she's like, me, I'll do it.
More skilled with the sort of nuances and, like, it's more subtle.
Well, it's like, you don't want to just, like, rip the metal out, because that would do...
Which is what Lin
would do. Imagine, though.
I think they also just wanted to do something with Sue at the end.
It's just a fresh wound.
Felicity says maybe the hero lost his bending.
How?
Maybe.
I know why Lin didn't do it, because she'd already been too touchy-feely, touching Sue, so she's like, I can't save Korra.
We're done.
There it is.
Al says, I guess the Spirit Vines plotline just got dropped.
I guess.
We got some Weed Whackers. We're on
also,
that.
When Reiko was like, I welcome you back, I was like, no.
I was like,
yeah,
shut
Reiko,
up.
Just go away.
Go away.
Shiny had the same thought. What happened?
Also, Reiko, ableist?
Seriously?
That was kind of, I don't know, his comments at the end were very,
yeah.
I mean, I guess we're going to talk about that tonight.
He's the worst.
Maybe the Red Lotus started out as White Lotus that were part of the Fire Nation rebels that were Ozai enthusiasts after the Angle ended the war.
I mean, we know how it started, kind of. That dude broke off from the White Lotus.
Yeah, but it could have been...
Here could be an unreliable narrator.
And stuff like that.
Well, we're talking about people who are prime candidates to be Red Lotus.
Sifu Toph says, I maybe was wrong, but when I looked at the Red Lotus members that were guarding the airbenders, were wearing some of the metal uniform that Sue's soldiers, so is there a connection?
That's what I thought, too.
I didn't notice that.
I thought, no, that's just too generic. It's just generic armor.
Yeah, I think it's just generic armor. I don't think they're implying that. What did we not hit on? Did we hit everything from the finale?
Hitting on Sam.
Sami being amazing, first of all.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, Sami takes down someone. She actually does.
I was really happy about that.
Oh, my God. Me too.
I liked Sami's pose at the end when she's staring at Korra and she's just sort of...
Like this.
Yes.
My girlfriend.
Exactly. Melkor's Wire in that Spirit of an Episode thing says that the Zaheer and Korra fight scene in the last episode with on the like all the pillars and stuff was the most I forget the exact terms he uses. This isn't an exact quote, but he says it's the most expansive and like intricate and like most well done fight scene in animation history, or at least American history.
He actually says that.
I have to watch it again. I don't know.
I thought it was amazing.
Like, I honestly might be the only one, but I thought Tanrok and Korra versus Hero.
I loved that.
I think he's talking
that
about
was also
the technical details, like just the incredible scale of it all is incredible. And also,
Melkor
Zaire worked on Young Justice as a director before this, and that I would say if you're going to name the three most technically excellent animated series in American animated history, I would say Avatar, Korra, and Young Justice. So he is, I think, qualified to make that statement.
But I mean, with the scene with Zaheer and Korra fighting, it's so similar to Aang and Ozai's fight that I feel like the first one is better.
It's a lot longer than Aang and Ozai's fight.
I don't mean technically in terms of, like, technically. I mean, like, in terms of a technical
like animation-wise,
sense, I think this blew it out of the water. This
I don't know.
I think
the cave was better. The cave scene where she was freaking out.
I just think all this...
Yeah,
like,
I actually agree with you.
Every fight scene was just...
All right, again, so like to reiterate a point. These are the two most well-done, in terms of production, episodes of animation in American history.
Oh,
not
yeah.
close. Not close. Seriously. They blow the Avatar book 3 out of the water, and that seems impossible, because that was the previous contender for this.
What's book 4 going to be like?
Oh, my gosh.
Tal says, Zhai Bao is Iroh. People had this theory because Iroh
which
showed up at Zai Bao's Grove.
Yeah, people were having that theory. I don't think we're going to get more of Zai Bao.
And Iroh's obsessed with, you know, Pai Shou and everything. Why not?
We don't know anything about Book 4, so it could be.
What if the Fire Lord is Red Lotus?
Oh,
betrayal again.
Honora,
yeah.
Also, she used to be in Book 4, too, now that Zuko mentioned her.
I think we're going to see Honora and Tal.
And the identity of Honora's mother?
And also,
Suki. I mean, obviously,
Suki. Exactly. you know Teresa. You
know. No, it's,
I know. I understand.
It seems like Honora being Red Lotus is a bit hypocritical of her, though.
Well, we don't know.
Well, yeah, because she's.
We don't know. How do we know?
Take that, Chad.
Change Woman 143 says, why couldn't Asami and Korra just kiss at the end?
I know! Right.
They were, like,
got the handhold, though.
That was not that appropriate.
She helped her
time,
get pretty.
Korra is pretty
kiss on the cheek, at least.
Yes, at least on the cheek.
Okay, let's,
There was handholding, there was zoomed in.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the handholding.
There was handholding and doing things if they want.
Okay, last question. Avatar Ray, Melanie, and Twitter says, what do you guys and girls think will happen in book four?
I don't know!
No, that's the yelling I'm talking about right there.
Yeah. Korra tries to kill himself.
I think Korra's going to regain the use of her legs a little bit.
I have a question about that. And I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but yes, how extensive do we, like, is it just that she's weak? Like, can she not move her legs?
Wait, time out. Because she fell, like, on her feet. And, like,
that happened.
Yeah, I was kind of joking about that, and then she was in a wheelchair, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, when that happened, I was like, her legs are so broken, dude.
I thought it was, like, a joke, kind of.
Quickly, before we continue, Felicity Sam comments on this. She says, yeah, the CGI was less annoying. It didn't bother me.
No, it was actually really bad at, like,
really? I thought it was okay.
There was a shot with, like, the place where Zaheer was, like, meeting whoever and, like, the airship, and it was the worst thing ever, so.
Yeah, sure. Of all the things that you thought were the worst thing ever, you were wrong.
You're wrong, because Sam knows
everything.
Here's what we're talking about for next season. Sifusop says, if Tenzin and the rest of the airbenders are going back to being nomadic, does this mean less Tenzin and the airbabies next season? I think there's two directions here. One, first of all, Jinora could be the main character next season. They could very easily do that based on this ending. Korra is crippled and not active, and Jinora has been promoted to...
Korra's going to be around.
Korra's going to be they could very easily go that direction. The other thing is that they could not... Like, the airbenders could just be, like, a side force, right? So, yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to tell. I do think they're kind of setting Jinora up for series regular instead.
Like, we had Zuko and Aang, and now we're just going to have Jinora doing stuff and then Korra doing stuff.
The problem is
Jinora will be the main character, but she'll probably be, like, the side main character.
Well, like...
Side main character.
Like, right, the main storyline main character.
Well, there's, like, five main characters right now, so is she going to be, like, six, right?
I feel like Mako and Bullet are, like, way less highlighted this season.
Yeah, but they still, like, had stuff every episode. They still had their own fight scenes. What do you think of Mako and Minghua's fight scene? Good?
Another one? Why can't they switch?
Shocks her.
He's gonna give me nightmares. With
yeah,
that.
He killed her. He murdered a human being, and he was
killed her.
About it.
He murdered her. He just goes nonchalantly lightning, and then she's dead. And then
now it's over. I'm like, okay.
I missed a comment at the bottom, but, someone said that they loved how Gazan was, like, happy that Bolin learned lava bending. Like, it was like a...
Yes! Yeah. That had so much potential for, like, Bolin turning and going to the Red Lotus, because if they would have been, like, mentor-student, and it would have been perfect.
Joking around.
Now maybe Bolin can be one of the most powerful benders on Earth.
They can form a blue lotus.
Oh my god.
Just go through, like, the primary colors.
Because white and red...
Melanie on Twitter says, do you think that Rohan... Or, go ahead, Jeff.
Like, Bolin... If Bolin, like, had no self-esteem or whatever, I could totally see that, but he's so, like... He's like, famous, you know, because of the mover stuff, so he's got that going for him. So he's not, like, desperate for, you know, acknowledgement from someone.
Yeah, I don't think that would have made sense. I would have loved for Gazan to have more to do, though, because he was...
I can't go back to jail.
Destroying an air temple.
Melanie asks, you guys think that Rohan is an airbender?
Yes.
Rohan, I don't know,
but he's really
Shiku are really pink.
I noticed.
He's so cute.
Thanks, Sam, that clears it up.
his cheeks were pink, so he's an airbender.
I'm an airbender, look at my cheeks.
Ben says, geez, always gotta complain about Mako. I don't know who complained about Mako. I thought Mako was fine.
I did, it was me,
I complained
sorry.
I always complain about Mako.
He was in this episode, I mean, he wasn't really there, so...
Damn, no, sad 925. I love how they burned the air temple down. That was the most
controversial. Okay, wait, we need to talk about that.
Thing, it's like, okay, an air temple's gone, but here's the thing.
This air temple is never going to win.
You can't catch a break.
Air temple versus fire, nope.
You would expect, wow, okay, Mel, there, you would expect,
like, sorry, she's not more wrong.
World-changing events, considering this, like, the series is, like, done in the next season. So this was, I think, inconsequential compared to what they could have done. Felicity says, no, I don't think Minghua is dead. I heard her grandma cheat the ground. No, director in the special feature says Minghua is dead. And
oh, gosh.
You know, she's dead.
Definitive.
Wait, no, the Airbenders seriously can't catch a break with this. Like,
Ziok says that poor baby bison, how did he carry everyone?
Right?
That was ridiculous.
I was totally expecting
Minghua.
Like, everyone get on. I was like, you see how tiny he is? Like,
I actually said, like, when we were doing the, like, when we were watching, I said out loud, I was like,
yeah, me too.
He's tiny.
Same. I was like, don't kill your bison, please.
You reason that every person is anywhere between 120 and 160 pounds on that bison.
How many people were on there? Like six? Four?
Okay,
four?
Here's the scene, right? So everyone's piling on, and Bolin's like, five. We're not all going to fit. He's like, come on, we'll make it. He's like, no, I'll hold off the lava, and you go. I'm cool. And then they go, and he's like, he couldn't actually do it, and he dies.
Oh, wow.
That would have been, as much as I don't want Bolin to die, that would have probably been okay. In
No, I can't do this.
Thanks, Jeff. Another nightmare to add to the list.
And then she dies, says Bolin.
And then she
didn't even say, and then I die. And then
he just mutters to himself, and then I die.
Okay.
That is so awful.
I think we're going to cut it off here. I'm sorry if I didn't get to any last comments. Tonight, we will be having a longer audio recap of the book, of the finale, obviously. It will be Jeff, Ben, Ali, Mill, and I. We are, if you are watching us without knowing this podcast, is we are from the Spare World. Right.
You didn't even do an intro, I was going to say.
Right here, I did the
intro. You said hello and welcome.
Yeah, right here. If you learn more about this podcast, dongbufeng.net, one word, dongbufeng.net/podcast. You can read bios there, including this fan art of us done by Teresa. Here. Teresa, say something to you. Yeah, there you
I'm
go.
I'm saying something. Hey, that's me.
Yeah,
that's
me. This is our work, everyone. I don't know if you guys saw it in the
audience. I don't know what side it's on for me. It's one of those.
Somewhere over there.
Yeah. It's pretty great. And thank you for
letting us
send us voice. Get your voicemails in tonight by 6:30 for tonight's podcast. Keep them to 30 seconds each. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel down here. We're not going to like put out regular videos, but this way I think you'll get notified if we have a scheduled event, if we do another video podcast. And yeah, that's it. I'm Dylan, Allie, Delaney, Jeff, Mel, Sam, and Teresa join me today. Also Ben and Brits. I'm sorry I couldn't make this, but yeah. I don't know. We're not grading the episode or anything. We'll save that for tonight.
Good. I'm terrible at grading.
Oh God, can you grade this?
I think that
easy way to do it, Alan.
I think that these are probably the hardest episodes to rank in Avatar Core history. Maybe even harder than the Avatar book finale, because I think the script is better than Avatar season 3 finale. Like,
the Avatar book finale was 4 episodes.
Well, you rank them individually, you know. But yeah.
Unless you rank the last two together on Dylan's tier.
Yes, you rank the last two together because they're written as one episode. These were written individually. I'm surprised Mike did not.
Wait, these two were written individually?
No, these two were written individually. Yes, I'm surprised Mike didn't take the final episode. Maybe, and then again, it had a dual credit at the end, but for Josh and Tim, and I don't buy that. I think they all just wrote it. But anyway, last thoughts.
Peace. I cried.
Yeah, there were tears.
Ending what? I'm so disappointed in you, or.
Or sock in it, or bird calling.
Put a sock in it, because that's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, put a sock in it. It's a good one.
Here.
Anyway, the last part
thanks
of
for watching archives. Thanks for watching the archives, audio, whatever. We'll be back with longer audio tonight. If you are watching this later than on Friday the 22nd, it should be out on our iTunes feed on the podcast page, dongbufeng.net/podcast. You can search for From the Spirit World on iTunes and find our podcast. Yeah, thanks for watching, and we'll end on put a sock in it. Ali, they can't see. You have to talk.
Oh, my God. Avatar's winning.
There you go. Okay.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, put a sock in it.
Put a sock in it.
Put a sock in it. Not good.
Sock in it.